Welcome to the worship service of Christ Covenant Church. This audio is from the 7th of June, 2009. Pastor Jim McCune preaches from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 17 through 38, with a sermon entitled, The Care of the Church.
This morning, on the occasion of having ordained an elder and a deacon, we're departing from our series in Mark's Gospel. We'll continue that next Lord's Day. But we're looking this morning at a portion of Scripture from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38, in connection with the ordination of office bearers in the Church of Christ. So I would ask that you would turn there. It's page 1101 in your pew Bibles, Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to read 17 through 38. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none among you whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. And therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus himself, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Congregation of Christ. Our scripture passage this morning relates the account of the last time the Apostle Paul met with the elders of the Church of Ephesus. The scene took place on the eve of Paul's last trip to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, he would face opposition from the Jews that would ultimately result in his being thrown into prison for the sake of Christ. As Paul addressed the Ephesian elders, he was sure that he would never see that congregation of Ephesus again, the congregation he loved very much and he had spent so much time with. It was because of his concern for the church that he called the elders to meet with him at Miletus, and There he spoke to them the words which we have just read. There are many things in Paul's speech to the elders of Ephesus that would be profitable for us this morning, but I'd like to concentrate simply on one verse, verse 28. And that verse is this: keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. In these words, which were originally addressed to the elders of the church of Ephesus, we find words that are very relevant for what we've done this morning in ordaining a new elder and a new deacon. I'd like to start with the words, keep watch over yourselves. An office bearer in the church of Jesus cannot be effective unless his life conforms to the Word of God. Paul says, keep watch over yourselves. But what does he really mean by this? Well, first of all, he means that as an office bearer, you must first be sure that the grace of God has gripped your heart. Part of the calling of an office bearer in the Church of Christ is to reach out with salvation, God's salvation and the gospel, to others. But how can anyone expect to ever reach the Savior unless the gospel has not first permeated and gripped his own heart? It's sad to say that in the history of the church, there have been men who have entered the Christian ministry for no better reason than their fathers before them were ministers. Some have desired the office of pastor or bishop or various offices in the church simply because of the visibility and the respectability that that office may have given to them. But a pastor or an elder or a deacon who assumes that office without the grace of God having a firm grip on his heart and on his life is only going to do damage in the Lord's vineyard. You remember in the Bible, the Lord appointed 12 apostles, but one of them was Judas. Judas was numbered among the apostles, and he had the gifts to do ministry just like all the rest of them had. He preached the good news to the people. He even healed the sick. And from the gospel accounts, we're pretty sure that he had the authority to cast out demons just like the other apostles did as well. But remember the time Jesus sent out those disciples and they came back and they were amazed at the authority they had and that the demons even obeyed them. But Jesus said to them, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, Judas's heart wasn't right before God. His name wasn't written in heaven. And from this, we can learn that the first thing that an office bearer must make sure of is that he himself is in Jesus Christ by faith. How can you call others to Christ if you yourself are a stranger to grace? How can you share the love of Christ with lost sinners unless you first experience that love yourself? How can you warn men about the danger of perishing apart from Christ if you yourself are outside of the fold and in danger of perishing? Those who would serve God as elders and deacons must make sure first that the grace of God has gripped their hearts. But more than that, the words keep watch over yourselves mean that you must actively and vigorously live out that faith. It calls office bearers in Christ's church to cultivate an active spirituality. You will utterly fail in your office as an office bearer unless you carry out your calling with a spiritual vitality that conforms itself to the Word of God. God desires that the service to which he's called you to should be from the heart, and that it should conform to the Word of God. He's not called you simply to sit on a church board and attend meetings. Elders are to provide for the spiritual oversight of the flock of God. They're responsible before God to see that the truth of God is taught and that it prevails in the church. They're to minister to the sick, to restore those who have strayed, and to engage in the work of evangelism. The office of elder is a ruling office in the Church of Christ. The teaching and the preaching of the word and the right administration of the sacraments and the exercise of discipline, all are things that are entrusted to the elders. Deacons are to minister to the needs of the poor among us and in our community. That office of deacon came into existence in order to relieve those who were entrusted with the ministry of the word from the burden of caring for the vast number of widows who were coming into the early church. The office of deacon is a helping or serving office. The word deacon literally means one who waits on tables. Deacons aren't only helpers to the elders who minister in the ministry of the word, but they provide care and assistance to the entire congregation. They encourage faithful stewardship among God's people. They're to use the occasions in which they minister to people's physical needs to speak a word on behalf of the Savior, to minister to people's hearts. But to do these things, a deacon must walk daily with the Lord. He must be a man after God's own heart. He must not simply do what's right in his own eyes, but he must do what God in his word commands. Remember in the Old Testament, we have the story of King Saul and how he was appointed by God to the office of king over Israel. But his walk with the Lord was amiss. Saul did what was right in his own eyes rather than obeying the Lord. Remember the story of how God had commanded the Israelites and Saul as their leader to go up against the Amalekites and to put all the Amalekites to death with the sword, to take no prisoners. And everything there, including flocks and herds, were to be devoted to destruction. But Saul thought he knew better. And instead of obeying the Lord's command, he spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And he spared some of the flocks to sacrifice to the Lord. Well, that went contrary to God's command. And we read in 1 Samuel 15, where that story is found, it says, Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs and everything that was good. These they were unwilling to completely destroy, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. And so the word of the Lord came to Samuel the prophet, and God said, I'm grieved that I made Saul a king, because he's turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. You see, Saul thought that he was carrying out God's instructions. And as we read on in that passage, when Samuel reached Saul, Saul said, Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. Well, you know what Samuel said? He said, what is this bleating of sheep that I hear in my ears? What's this lowing of the cattle? And Saul answered, well, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord. And immediately Samuel said, stop. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes and did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you as king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. But now, why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, said Saul. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites. I brought back Agag, their king, and I took the best of the plunder from the Amalekites to devote to God as a sacrifice. And you notice how Saul just didn't get it. So Samuel said back to him, he said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." Why did Saul fail as king? He failed because he didn't cultivate a vigorous walk with the Lord, involving daily listening to his word and obeying the scriptures. And so instead, Saul did what was right in his own eyes. And so unless an office bearer in Christ Church takes time to cultivate a close walk with God and to make God's word the rule and standard of his life, and unless he is foremost a man after God's own heart, there's no reason to think that he'll ever succeed in his office. Samuel told Saul that he had rejected the word of the Lord because he didn't take heed to God's commands. Well, if Saul wasn't listening to the Lord, what was he listening to? In verse 24, it says, Saul said to Samuel, "I've sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instruction. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them." You see, because Saul didn't anchor his heart in God's word, it was the voice of the people that prevailed with him. He obeyed the voice of man rather than the voice of the Lord. And in that, he was no different than Aaron, another office bearer who in previous history of Israel had failed in his office, because Aaron also listened to the voice of the people and he made a calf of gold to please them. And so, elders and deacons, God has called you to office in his church, and it's his voice that you must obey. Yes, you should listen to the flock and you should be sensitive to what they're saying. But the flock doesn't give you your marching orders. Those come from King Jesus. And if you fear the displeasure of the flock more than you fear displeasing the Lord, you're setting yourself up to fail, just as Aaron and Saul failed in their offices. Be men after God's own heart. Be men of the word. Live what you learn from the word. And make sure that your example does not contradict your doctrine. A deacon who is not a generous giver will not be effective in encouraging the rest of the flock to be generous. An elder who tolerates or cherishes some sin in his own life will be absolutely undermined in his capacity to help those who are entangled in their own sin. God has given elders and deacons for the good of his church. I've already mentioned some of those things God has called elders and deacons to do. But notice that it says here in our text that this office that you have is from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who makes you elders and deacons. The office doesn't come from man. It comes from God. And God has placed you over his flock to care for it, just as Jesus would himself. You're to feed the flock and to protect it from harm and danger. You're to set an example of Christ's love and a holy life. And of course, to do that, you need to know the sheep, and that comes from spending time with them. You're called to minister to the sick. You know what it says in the book of James about ministering to the sick? It says, if anyone's sick, he should pray. And he should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. It's very interesting when you read those words at the end of the book of James that he doesn't say, if you're sick, go and find somebody in the church who has the gift of healing and let them heal you. He says, go to the elders of the church. They are to pray for the sick. They can anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And it's the prayer of faith that raises that person up. Ministry to the sick is part of an elder's duty. And the deacons can also assist in this. Deacons, the Bible says that you are to look for opportunities to do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. You're to be good stewards of the resources that God places under your supervision. You, along with the elders, are to look out for the needs of the flock. Are you getting the idea that the Lord expects a lot from the men he places in these offices? Well, he does. And I think whenever an elder or a deacon hears all that's entailed with their office, they're likely to want to throw up their hands and say, I could never fulfill such a calling. I don't have it within me to do it. And you know what? That's true. No man has in himself the ability or the desire to fulfill the calling of an elder or a deacon. But thanks be to God that your calling to office is not from the flock and it's not from yourself. It's from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit provides you everything that you need to fulfill your office. Be yielded and obedient to Him. Trust Him to supply your needs, and He will make you an effective elder and deacon. Finally, these last words in this text are important for us this morning. Paul says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he has bought with his own blood. You're called to be shepherds. See, God shows his love for his church by raising up for them shepherds. Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep, but he has assigned under shepherds to minister for the good of the flock. You might ask, well, why do we need under-shepherds if Christ is the great shepherd? Maybe some of you have heard the story about the boy who woke up in the middle of the night and he was frightened by a dream. And so he came into his parents' room and his father asked him, well, what's wrong? And he told his dad how afraid he was. Well, his father asked him, being a good Christian father, he said, well, have you prayed to God? And do you believe that God is with you? And the boy said, well, yes. And so his father told the boy to go back to his bedroom. He said, don't worry, God's with you. And the boy said to his dad, Dad, I know the Lord is with me, but I was looking for someone with skin. Well, God has given elders and deacons to his church because he loves his flock. And he knows that his flock needs shepherds that they can see and who will model what it means to live for Christ. Shepherds who will be there for the flock when there's a need. And just as children need parents they can see and touch, someone with skin, the church needs elders and deacons. The men that God gives to his church aren't perfect shepherds. There aren't perfect elders or deacons or pastors any more than there's such a thing as perfect parents. They will have their failings as well as any others of the flock. But it's because of God's love and his care for the church that he's provided it with men to be shepherds of the church of God. If you want to have some kind of idea about just how serious God takes making someone a shepherd of his flock, Read Ezekiel 34 sometime. I'm not going to read that whole chapter this morning, but there's one verse in it that if you read that chapter, you will find it. And it says this, God says to the shepherds, I will hold you accountable for my flock. You see, God's in deadly earnest when he says that. When he places someone as being shepherd over his flock, he will hold them accountable. That doesn't mean that the offices in the church are so heavy that there's no joy in them. In fact, it's just the opposite. Those who have been called as office bearers in the church of Christ enjoy some of the greatest joys that a mortal man can experience. You know, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice when one comes into the kingdom of God, when a sinner is returned to God. And one of the joys that elders get to experience is hearing people profess their faith in Christ and how they've come to faith. And deacons, when they minister to those in Christ's name, they're ministering to Jesus himself. Jesus says, whatever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done to me. Remember what Paul says about deacons who serve well in 1 Timothy 3. He says, those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. There's much reward to those who serve God faithfully in these offices. God has given elders and deacons to the church because he cares for his church. And how much does he love his church? So much that he bought it with his own blood. The church was purchased with the blood of God's own Son, Jesus Christ. And so, elders and deacons, if that's how much Christ loves the church, see to it that you love it just the way he does. He's placed you over the flock in the offices he's given you. Keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock of God of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and be shepherds of the church of God which he has bought with his own blood. Let us pray. Father in heaven, once again, we thank you for your great gift of giving us elders and deacons in the church of Jesus to serve you. Help us as a congregation, Lord, to respect them for the sake of the offices that you've given them. Thank you, Lord, for how they care for us. Help us, Lord, to honor them and to pray for them. And, oh, Father, help each of these men, Lord, to serve you faithfully till Jesus comes again. Through Christ we pray. Amen.